the companion workbook to accompany Package Your Genius 5 Steps to Build Your Most Powerful Personal Brand is now available on Amazon. You're listening to Package Your Genius, a conversation designed to give you clarity on your calling and serve as a catalyst for your career. I'm your host, Amanda Miller Littlejohn. Welcome back to another episode of Package Your Genius. I cannot believe we have come to the end of another year. As I record this, it is a couple of days before Christmas in the United States, and that means we are rounding the corner of the very last week of the year. I don't know about you, but for me, the last week of the year is always this really fertile time where I'm thinking about the year that just went by. I'm thinking about my goals and the things that I hoped to achieve. I'm looking at my actual results and what I did achieve. And then that space between the two of what I saw for myself and dreamed for myself, but maybe didn't make happen, and why that is. So personally, it is a time of reflection and planning and stillness and getting quiet to really assess the truth of my life, right? Where I am and where I had hoped to be by this point and where I'm falling short. But also where I surprised myself, where I exceeded and excelled, and I make sure to celebrate myself in that way too, because it's easy to get caught up only in the things that you didn't accomplish over the year. And so I wanted to share 5 questions that I'm going to be asking myself during this last week of the year. And I'm hoping that these are questions that you can use as well. I don't know if I ever formally came up with, you know, a specific set of questions when I first started doing my end of year reflections, which I remember doing, I remember doing these in middle school. It may have been high school, but I feel like it was as early as middle school. I remember sitting in the living room at my mother's house, and that was where the Christmas tree was, and it was all lit up. And, you know, the living room was almost the space where, even though it was called a living room, no one ever went in there. It was just, you know, the first room of the house where people or guests may come in and we receive them, but we didn't live in there. We lived in the den, right? Like, that was where the TV was, and that's where we watched television. So the living room was this space that was always quiet. And with the kind of twinkling of the Christmas tree lights, I would sit in my mom's rocking chair and just watch the tree and think and jot down, you know, what I thought I needed to work on. I thought about my relationships, my friendships, and I mean, I was thinking deeply, I think, as a young person. I don't really know. I mean, now that I have kids, I'm like, I don't think they're doing all that, but they're still young and they're boys. So boys are different. But I realized that this has been a long-standing tradition for me, and obviously I've translated it into a helpful business practice since I have become a business owner, and I help other people with their businesses too. So let me jump into these 5 questions that I've outlined for both you and for me. So number one, the first question I'm going to ask myself as I move into the next year is, what am I willing to let go of? What am I willing to let go of? So I did this massive purge of clothes and books and just old things that I was holding on to for whatever reason. I did this huge purge of that earlier this year. I took, gosh, maybe 10 garbage bags of clothes, like good clothes that could still be worn. Maybe they didn't fit me, but they were good. There were clothes that could be worn by someone. And some of the clothes even still fit me, but I just realized I had worn them enough or felt like they didn't really fit my style anymore. And I didn't see how I could integrate them into my current wardrobe or my current lifestyle, what I do, where I go. Like, this outfit does not fit into anywhere in my agenda. Like, I don't see where I would wear this. And even clothes that I kind of felt like, well, maybe if I got a certain set of pants or a certain sweater that would go with this, I got rid of it. Like, if it did not serve me, I couldn't wear it, I didn't love it, it didn't make sense, I just said I'm letting it go because I wanted to make space. And the same with books. For a lot of years, I have held on to books that have sentimental value for me because perhaps I read them and they gave me this specific insight and I highlighted and wrote in the margins and, you know, am attached to the physical book that I've read. And sometimes I'll get books that I don't get around to reading, but I have a specific goal for the book when I get it. Sometimes I get books because a client or a student wrote it and I'm, you know, getting the books to be supportive. And I read them and, you know, it could be time for me to let that book go so that it can go help someone else. And I realized that I had a ton of books that just, I had no plans of reading them again, right? Like, they served me for that time of my life. I did not need them anymore. I didn't have a desire to reread them. And so it took me 2 trips between the clothes and the books. It was 2 separate trips that I had to take. And I have an SUV. So you can imagine how much stuff exited my house. But it was really spurred on by me listening to a podcast by one of my favorite podcasts, Redefining Wealth with Patrice Washington. Her episode, which was called Are You in a Money-Making Space, was really the motivation, and she sparked me to make that huge purge. And you should go listen to the episode, Are You in a Money-Making Space? I listened to it maybe 3 or 4 times, and it really inspired me to think about the things in my physical environment that might be obstructing my creativity and might be holding me back mentally because I'm getting distracted just by looking at things that no longer serve me and that have no place in my future. So why are they here, right? And so that episode sparked the big clothing purge, and I finally got motivated to get rid of the books, which for me, I don't know why I have this thing with the books, but there's something about all of these books. And I've been like that since college. I remember having lots of books in college, even books that we weren't studying. And I remember when most students would sell their books or get rid of their books, like, I had a hard time parting with my books and I just kept them. So you can imagine how many books you accumulate in college when you're not getting rid of them. So anyway, I was inspired to get rid of a ton of books. My husband got rid of a ton of books too. So we just had, you know, a lot more space on our bookshelves, which ironically, I still cannot tell we did a huge book purge because we still have a ton of books. But that tells you how many books that we got rid of. But by thinking about what it was I willing to let go of, listening to Patrice's podcast and doing that massive purge, I really think it helped me to get clear on a big goal that I had for myself, which was writing Package Your Genius. And it also helped me to see that, you know, I was getting in my own way and I was the only one holding myself back from reaching that goal. As I've mentioned before, my son Connor wrote and published his first book, Tag Your It Zombie Tag, literally this time next year, it was a year ago, the anniversary of the first book kind of physically making its way to Amazon. It was the anniversary of that. Happened just a few days ago. And he really helped me see that I needed to get focused and sit down to write, because witnessing him getting focused and sitting down to write was super powerful. But removing the clutter and getting rid of old clothes and old books and old things that didn't serve me, I think helped me see that I needed to make so. And maybe there's some metaphor in getting rid of books and then bringing forth a new book. I don't know. Is that symbolic? It sounds kind of symbolic. But my point is that realizing something I was willing to let go of helped me make room for something new, which was my son's book series and then my new book, as well as the companion workbook that I recently published. Number two, what could be the one thing that could make everything else work? What could be the one thing that could make everything else work? Now, this is a question that I got from two different books. One is called The One Thing by Gay Hendricks, which I highly recommend. And another book is Essentialism by Greg McKeown, and I also highly recommend that book. But the whole idea of those two books is to pare down to the essential act, the essential relationship, the essential movement, the essential habit, the essential task, the essential project, the essential client, you know, that will change the trajectory of your achievement and your life. So for some people, that may mean the one thing that could be the missing piece for everything is finding a loving relationship, right? Like if having a family and being connected is the sole driving force of your life and that's missing for you, then identifying and building a relationship with a person could unlock that entire picture for you. For me, I decided this past year, the one thing that could make everything else work was writing my book and releasing that flagship idea of Package Your Genius, because I've been talking about it, I've been teaching on it, I have a podcast around it, but for some reason I had not taken that step to write the book and publish the ideas that can make them more accessible to more people, right? I didn't have a tool that I could take into conferences and into events to hand to people so that they could continue their learning and deepen their engagement with my material. And so for me, the one thing that could make everything else work was the book. So the book could be the gateway to more coaching clients. The book could be the gateway to a conference or an event on that similar theme. The book could be a major coaching program for corporations, right? It's already the basis of Package Your Genius Academy, which is my coaching program that I offer for individuals, but it could potentially be the basis of a program that I take into larger companies. And so for me, identifying the one thing was writing and publishing Package Your Genius. But what could that be for you? What could be the one thing? You know, when you think about what you want more of and what you want the most and what you feel is not happening in any area of your life, you know, ask yourself, okay, what do I want and what's keeping me from having that? And what's keeping me from having that? And what's keeping me from having that? Right? So just keep asking yourself what's keeping you from having it until you get to the one thing that everything else is built upon. The third question that I am planning to ask myself for my end of the year reflection is, what do I want more of? What do I want more of? I've already come up with a few ideas to this question, and I'm curious to know what you want more of too. I actually posed this question on Instagram, and I remember one person said that she wanted more high-end clients, right? So then the follow-up question would be, well, what do you need to do to get more high-end clients? What are you doing now that is keeping you from getting high-end clients? How are you talking about yourself and marketing yourself? What imagery are you using? What language are you using? Where are you networking? What events are you attending? What conferences are you going to? And what are you investing in to yourself in order to even be in the same environment where people who you would consider to be high-end clients are circulating? So, you know, when you think about what you want more of, also think about all of the things that comprise, I guess, the ecosystem for that thing. Like, rarely are things exist in a vacuum. So when you think about a high-end client, what is around a high-end client? Typically a high-end network, typically high-end events, you know, locations, destinations, etc. Like, where do you see that person? And where do you see yourself interacting with that person? What types of experiences are you having when you think of a high-end client? Perhaps it's a high-end retreat at a luxury villa or resort. So if you are hosting events now, is that where you're hosting them? You know? So think about all of the things that kind of are surrounding the things that you want more of. For me, a couple of things I came up with, and this is preliminary because I have not gone into my week of reflection and questions, but I'll share maybe either on a future podcast or in the Facebook group. But just a couple of things that I want more of are next year, I want more travel, which I'm kicking off. It's funny. I think I said this earlier in the year, but I'm kicking off this year with a trip to Cabo with a girlfriend. Hey, Crystal. So I'm excited to go there and spend about a week, you know, kicking the year off and really getting some sun and warmth and time to just relax and be responsibility free. The kids will be with their dad and family in Tennessee. So they will be having a ball doing family things, and I am going to unplug and recharge my mom battery, my coaching battery, and just, you know, get some time for me. So travel is one thing I said I wanted more of earlier in the year, so I'm starting the year off with it, and I hope to continue that more. I want to earn more income. So this has been a goal or a desire that's been hovering over my heart and brain for some time now. I don't really do well with making specific revenue goals unless they are attached to some sort of a why. And so, you know, I feel like I make a good income, a good living from doing what I love, and I have minimal stress, responsibility. I have a lot of freedom, and I like that. I like being free to create a schedule that works for me, to be able to be there for my children, to have the, you know, leeway to travel when my husband isn't anyway, because his job requires him to travel a lot. But I like having that freedom to be able to go and attend things at the kids' school or to take a last minute trip. And I like being able to earn what I believe I'm worth. But recently, I've set a more ambitious goal for my business. I do want to hit 7 figures, right? So I run a healthy 6-figure business, and I enjoy the work that I'm doing, and I don't feel like I work a ton. Like, I do a lot, especially around publishing and creating, but I don't feel like I'm running myself ragged or I'm, you know, working the most I could potentially be working, and I definitely want to ramp that up because these are my peak earning years. I'm not 40 yet, so I have a couple more years before I reach that age milestone. But I really want to get serious about maximizing on this time of my life, this time in our economy, this time in the digital age when so many things are possible that were not possible before, but also the uncertainty of not knowing how long everything will last, right? Like, how long will we be able to make money? I know this about myself. I am goal-oriented. I am an achiever, and I can do really well when I have a specific goal in mind. So to push myself and to push my revenues, I started working with a coach earlier this year who is focused on taking people who are earning six figures to the seven-figure mark. And I'm excited to see where my business grows from this point because I don't know about you, but for me, if I am able to kind of meet all of my needs and reach my goals and I'm comfortable and I'm not spending a ton of time stressing myself out to get what I need, like, I'm content. But I realized that I was holding myself back. I was dialing it in. I was not pushing myself to earn what I could earn. And I think for the last couple of years, I've been thinking a lot about money and how money isn't necessarily the answer to your problems. It isn't necessarily the antidote to boredom or sadness or emptiness or fulfillment, right? Like, you can think that simply earning more money is the key to unlocking everything. And for the last couple of years, I really embraced the idea that it wasn't, and that, you know, earning enough, making a few six figures was plenty. But I've been re-energized around earning, and I'm excited to push myself to a new goal of seven figures because, number one, I know I can do it. Number two, my business, my genius, my expertise is worth that and more. And number three, I can do so much more for my community, for my family, for the future generations of my family, for my extended family, if I'm at that, you know, seven figure plus earning mark. I'm able to employ more people whose genius I believe in and who believe in my vision for helping high achievers become more visible in the world. And so I think it's important for me to push myself. And maybe I was BSing myself by saying earning, you know, hitting six figures, hitting multiple six figures was enough, and that next goal wasn't something that I desired to strive for. So that's something that I am going to definitely be working on this year, earning more. The third thing I've thought about, and this honestly sounds like plenty, I said that I haven't done my reflection, but maybe I have, or maybe this podcast will serve as the beginning point of my New Year's reflection. But the third thing that I preliminarily thought about in terms of what I want more of is more community. And I think I said this last year too. I've done a good job of creating group programming where I can share my ideas and my framework and my curriculum with people in a group format because that's so much more fun. It's so much more fun to coach people and create support among cohorts than the individual, the one-on-one relationship, which I treasure and absolutely love. But it's fun to create experiences where the amazing people I'm getting to meet and getting to know can also get to know one another and get support from one another. So I will absolutely be looking for more ways to be intentional about creating community, and not just within my paid programs, but also within my Facebook group that I have, my free Facebook group. How can I create events and different opportunities to engage with the people who are interested in connecting more with my content and with me and with one another? So if you have any ideas for that, any ideas for meetups or groups, or book clubs, or, you know, online activities, offline activities, feel free to comment, shoot me a note, DM me, and let me know what you're thinking, because obviously it's not my strong suit. It's something I desire, but I'm definitely no expert in it. So I would love some support from those of you who maybe are. Okay, number four. The fourth question I will be asking myself, and I encourage you to ask yourself as you look at the new year, is what do I want less of? What do I want less of? So the same way that I'll be thinking about the things that I want more of, you know, how I want to create more connection through community, how I want to earn more, how I want to travel more, I also think it's important to think of the things that you want to remove, what you could stand to have less of in your life. And so for me, a couple of things I thought of, and I thought about stress and the physical manifestation of stress in my life. How do I create less of that, or how do I learn to manage that more effectively? So for me, that may look like yoga, creating some sort of a self-care practice where I engage in deep breathing and just find ways to really release myself from my thoughts. Because as you know, I'm a thinker and I'm always in my head, but being in your head all the time can create stress and anxiety. And, you know, I've done some research on how stress and anxiety affect the physical body, and it's really not good for you. I had a close friend pass away this year who was fairly young. She was only 45. And, you know, even before then, it seemed like there were a lot of people passing away suddenly from stress-related illnesses, so sudden heart attacks. There was a man who was very healthy, who was playing tennis and had a heart attack. He was either a heart attack or a stroke, and he fell and hit his head and died. And he had two young children. Another friend told me about someone they knew who was literally in the gym working out and had a heart attack in the gym. And this was a healthy person who was, for all intents and purposes, strong, thinking about their physical health, working on their physical health and stamina, getting in the gym and working on their physical body. But a lot of times stress can be the thing that can tax our physical organs in a way that we aren't even aware. So I definitely want to remove stress, even though I don't feel like I have a very stressful life. Because I'm always in my head, I feel like I manufacture stress and create stress and just have a stressful response sometimes to situations where I can be a lot calmer than I am. Like, I watch my husband manage stress and respond to things, and it's just amazing to me, because we could be facing the same situation or dealing with the same challenge, you know, having something to do with our kids or family, and the way he navigates and manages his response is just amazing to me, because he's so calm and so collected, and he does a good job of compartmentalizing situations and not letting things ruin his day or ruin his outlook or his afternoon, whereas I go all in and get really upset about something and that is on my mind for days. He can let go of things, release them, compartmentalize them, and move on with his day. And so I want to develop some new coping strategies so that when an event that is not ideal happens in my life, it doesn't take up too much of my space. It doesn't take up too much of my mental space. It doesn't take up too much of my day, because ultimately the moments and hours and days that we're living make up our lives. And I feel like I do give too much time, too many of those moments and hours and days away to situations that are not worthy of my attention, my stress, and definitely my health, right? So I definitely want to figure out how to reduce stress, because I want less of that. But then factor in other people that you're responsible for. So if you have a partner, if you have a child or multiple children, you have to think through all of those things and stay on top of all of those things too. And for some people, it seems effortless, but for me, it's not. I still did not get holiday cards out this year. And literally, that's been on my to-do list for 3 years. I'm like, this is the year. Last year, I bought the cards. I have the cards. But did I sit down and write my thoughtful note and address my envelopes and get those in the mail? No, I didn't do it. And maybe I'll make that happen next year. Or maybe I'll have a great assistant who can support me as I make that happen. But I just was not together enough to get the holiday cards out, which is disappointing, but that's where I am. So I don't know what that would be categorized as. Maybe I want less household tasks that stay on my plate. And maybe that just means I need more support around the house just to keep my household running smoothly. Number five. So I saved arguably the best question for last, because I think it's a great question to end your reflection on. And this list is by no means exhaustive, but I think it's a good start for your year-end reflections and planning for the upcoming year. But the number five question, drum roll, please. What am I grateful for? You probably guessed that that was what the question was. But again, what am I grateful for? This question is so powerful. If you have a gratitude practice that you use daily, you already know how powerful thinking about what you're grateful for can do for your mindset, for your emotional health, for your mental health, and for your outlook. It's a really powerful way to start or end your day because it helps you focus on the good and see the silver lining and see the magnitude of what you have to be grateful for rather than all of the problems that can crop up and steal your attention. Because as we know, what you focus on grows. So if you're focusing on the things you're grateful for, you're only going to become more aware of great things in your life. And so I did jot down a couple of things that I am thankful for or grateful for. So obviously my family, my children who are healthy, my relationship with my husband. I'm grateful for my health, even though I don't act like it. I need to get on my self-care routine for sure this year, but I am grateful to be breathing, to be alive, to be moving and mobile and able to activate my ideas and able to just move about. And that even brings me to some things I didn't write down. I'm grateful for ideas. I'm grateful for creativity. I'm grateful for a background and education that allows me to do the things I do, right? I'm grateful for financial stability. Financial stability through my own effort for the last decade. So I'm grateful for the fact that, you know, I am the captain of my own ship and I call the shots in terms of how I make a living. And I think I take that for granted, or for the fact the last few years I've taken it for granted because it's become my norm. But when you think about it, it's powerful to know that you are the buck stops with you. Yes, it's a huge responsibility to know that if you want to earn something, you have to get out there and make it happen and cultivate leads and prospects and sell yourself and sell your services and sell your programming. But for the last decade, I have been able to do that successfully, and I've seen growth, right? So that's powerful. I'm thankful and grateful to be able to call the shots and how I earn a living and to not live in fear that, you know, I may lose my job and then lose my ability to support my family in the way that I do. or I would have to change my lifestyle some way. So that is a huge thing to be grateful for, to be grateful for being able to earn a living in the way that I choose. That is just, I'm so grateful for that. And lastly, I would like to say I am grateful for you. I don't talk a lot about what this podcast means to me, and I don't want you to think that when I am not as consistent as I hope to be, that it doesn't mean a lot to me. But you, who is listening and can hear me right now, I am so grateful for you. I'm honored to be a part of your life. And whether this is the first episode or the 50th episode that you've listened to, I'm grateful that you are inspired to press play when a new episode pops up in iTunes or Stitcher or SoundCloud or wherever you get your podcast. I'm grateful for the fact that what I share is helpful to you. I'm grateful for the fact that you keep coming back and that you are on this journey with me and you're essentially sharing my life with me. I'm grateful for that. Even if we have never met or we've never communicated online, I want you to know that it means the world to me that you are here listening to the sound of my voice, validating just by playing, pressing play on your podcast player, validating that what I have to share matters and that it is helpful to you because you keep coming back. So I'm so grateful for you. I'm looking forward to another season of growth for the podcast. Thank you for those of you who have left me a review. Thank you to those of you who have been listening for episode after episode. And thank you for those of you who are just now jumping on board. I hope that you find something of value for your journey, and I hope that you'll stick around with us. I wanted to share a recent review in iTunes and thank Shonda Ross. Hi, Shonda. Shonda says, "Prepare to take notes. This podcast is such a wonderful complement to the book Package Your Genius. Each topic offers so much practical advice for building your brand and organizing your pursuits. Love it." Thank you, Shonda, for taking the time to write that thoughtful review. We really appreciate it here at Package Your Genius. Again, it means the world to me. Quick announcements. The companion workbook for Package Your Genius, 5 Steps to Build Your Most Powerful Personal Brand, is up. And this is a great tool that you can also use in your year-end reflections. I ordered my own copy and I plan to take it with me when I go to Cabo next week. So I'm excited to share my insights and kind of what I get out of going through that process, because it's a powerful set of questions that can really help you get focused on what you're trying to do with your personal brand. So the workbook, the companion workbook, is available on Amazon, and I'll drop that link in the show notes. If you don't have the book, Package Your Genius, 5 Steps to Build Your Most Powerful Personal Brand, you want to grab that, especially at this time of the year. It's a great tool to help you figure out who you are and who you want to be going forward. We're getting some great feedback from it, and I hope that it will be a part of your arsenal as you move into the new year. Last but not least, we are accepting applications for our Package Your Genius Academy cohort that starts in January. So if you have been interested in participating in the group program of Package Your Genius Academy, where we go through how you can get clear on your brand, how you can package your ideas, and then how you can deliver that genius to the world through media and speaking and all sorts of other awesome brand vehicles, then you'll want to submit your application, as we will be starting in late January 2019. Well, that's it. I hope you have an amazing final week of the year, and I hope your holidays are filled with joy and love and laughter and everything that makes you happy. We'll see you next time. Bye.